Well, good morning, family. I know that we have several that are away from us today that are visiting and traveling, so we need to pray for those that are away from us today. I'm aware of the Dockles and Reggie and Cherry, some of the ones that are gone from us, but we're glad for your presence here this morning. I warn you ahead of time that with the lesson today, we're going to have some challenges with the appearance of the PowerPoint. I've been warned about that, so you'll have to just be a little forgiving. You want to follow along in your Bibles in Genesis chapter 8, in case we have some trouble reading the text as it appears on the screen. And just to let... Okay. All right. Sorry about that. Oh, I guess I do have a color slide. I thought it was going to be in black and white. But you'll also want to follow along in your bulletin. There's an outline there on the opening page. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 8. And we're going to be talking about something today that maybe some of us that live in this part of the country are not as familiar with, and that is rain. In Genesis chapter 8, it was the wettest day on planet Earth. And as we look at the story of Noah, I hope that we will learn some things from this incident in his life on the ark that will help us in our walk with God. We are going to jump into the story here in Genesis chapter 8, and we are going to read a few verses here that, let me just kind of preface it by saying, at this point, they're on the ark, the rains have stopped, and the waters are beginning to decrease as they're on the ark. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, "It came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and then he sent out a raven which kept going back and forth until the waters had dried up from the earth." Going on in verse 8, I'm going to have to read from my Bible. Okay, there we go. "He also sent out a dove to see if the waters had abated from the face of the ground, but the dove found no resting place." And it goes on to say, "And she returned into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth." Water. Water, 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 and lots of water. If you could be there that day, you would wish, probably as Noah did, that you were able to set your eyes on something else other than water. That is all that Noah can see. The evening sun is sinking into the water. The clouds are reflected on the water. Noah's boat is surrounded by the water. Water from every direction. Water in the north, water in the south, water in the east, water in the west. There was water everywhere. All that Noah could see was water. And I'd imagine in his mind that he could not even remember seeing anything else other than water. 5 months ago, at this point, Noah and his sons had pushed the last hippo onto the ark, and the doors closed, and then the fire hydrants of heaven opened up, and there was water everywhere. Within moments, the ark was bobbing about, and the rains poured down, as I'm sure Noah wondered, seeing heavy drops of water coming down, how long is this going to last? The rains lasted 40 days straight, and for months they floated on that ark. And they ate the same food, they smelled the same smells, they looked at the same faces for many, many days. And after a certain point, I think you almost run out of things to say to each other, as you are Noah and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives. You get to know each other pretty well. Finally, their boat had bumped upon the top of Mount Ararat, And Noah, it says in the text, peeked out the window. His wife may have asked Noah, "What do you see?" And what do you think he said? Water. That's what he saw. Everywhere he looked. Now, he saw some sky. He saw some clouds. He maybe saw some dead animals floating on the water. That's what he saw. Water everywhere. And so Noah, it says in the text, he sends out a raven. And the raven is on a scouting mission. And it never returns. Being an unclean bird, it felt right at home, probably perching itself on the floating dead carcasses on the water. And so then Noah sends out a dove. And Noah, the dove is a clean bird. The dove found no place to land, and so the Bible says that it returned to the ark. The dove returns, after 7 days, then he sent out another dove. And when he sends out that second dove, this is where our story takes a dramatic turn. The dove returns that evening with an olive leaf in her mouth. And that one little leaf makes a huge difference in the story. Because that one little leaf offers just a little bit of hope. And secondly, we'll find out that that hope then, represented by the leaf, is something that is meant to be shared. But all day long, Noah looks for the dove's return, hoping for the sign, some sign, that the earth, that everything is okay. And as he watched the sunset and he watched the sky darken, he could still see nothing but water. But when that dove came with the olive leaf, that dove made a huge difference. I want to talk about that now, and we're in Genesis chapter 8, and this is where our slides now turn black and white like I promised you. That should be the color of water right there. But in Genesis chapter 8, it says in verse 10, Noah waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew, watch this, he knew that the waters had abated from the earth. Yes, Noah now had hope. You know the feeling. You've been where Noah stood. You have had your share of floods as well. You're flooded by sorrow as you sit there at the cemetery over the death of a loved one. You're flooded by stress at the office as you deal with difficult co-workers and a demanding workload. You're flooded by frustration and discouragement as you tackle the difficulties of old age and failing health. And you know what it's like to take medication, to take all kinds of precautions to provide for health as you get into your latter years. You know those floods that come. The floodwaters rise and the sun begins to set on any hope of things even getting better. And that's right. I know that you've been on Noah's boat. You've been there with Noah. You've been there looking out, only seeing water, feeling like you're sinking, looking for that little ray of hope, looking for that dove, looking for that olive leaf. And sometimes that's all you need. You've needed what Noah needed all along. You just needed hope. I mean, you're not asking for a thrilling helicopter rescue, although the sound of one would be nice at this point. You're not asking for something more than what God would give. But hope, you see, doesn't promise instant solutions. Rather, instead, hope promises the possibility of an eventual solution at one point. And sometimes that's all you need. You need just a little hope. And that's all Noah needed, and that's all that Noah received. Noah may have been ready to call it a day. He had been maybe ready to go to bed. And he maybe had given up hope that then in verse 11, he sees that dove coming. He sees the dove carrying that olive leaf. An olive leaf. He would have been happy to see the bird alone, but the bird had in its mouth an olive leaf. And this leaf was more than just foliage. It was the promise of something better. It was more than a piece of tree. It was something instead that was going to bring Noah and his family hope. Hope is an olive leaf, evidence of dry land after the flood. It is something that is proof to the dreamer that dreaming is worth it, that we can hope for something better. Don't you just love the olive leaves of life? Don't you just love it when the doctor comes to you and says, it appears as if your cancer is in remission. When your boss maybe says to you, I really appreciate all the hard work that you do. You can expect a raise to be coming soon. When you're going through a tough time and your spouse says to you, listen, I know where the bills are stacking up, things are going difficult, but you just feel the embrace of your husband and your wife and they say to you, we're going to make it together through this somehow, some way. That is an olive leaf. That is a sign of hope. And in those situations, what we really like is the dove that brings the hope. When a father walks his son through his first broken heart, you remember that girl that turned you down, the girl that broke off the relationship, and you as a son, you're needing someone, your dad comes and he offers a little olive leaf saying, things are going to be okay, son. When the wife who's been married several years and had a long, successful marriage, and she's able to go to a young married woman who's going through those first few years of marriage, and she's struggling, and that mother and that wife can console her and say, listen, I've been where you were. You'll make it through. Continue to trust in the Lord. Be faithful to your spouse. That is an olive leaf, and we love the olive leaves, and we love those who give the olive leaves. This is why I think so many people loved Jesus. Because Jesus was one who offered that olive leaf. You remember the woman who was caught in adultery. And she was yanked from the bed of promiscuity. She was dizzy from the raid, tossed into the circle of shame. And she stood before Jesus. She stood before others who were angry. She sees nothing but anger in their eyes. She sees no hope. She sees no olive leaf until she hears Jesus say to her or say to the others, if anyone among you is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And after that, they all leave. And Jesus offers this woman an olive leaf. He says in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 10, woman, where are your accusers? No one, he says, has condemned you. And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And so into her shame-filled world, Jesus brings an olive leaf. A leaf of hope. And he does the same for Martha. Go with me now to John chapter 11, the story of Martha. Remember, her brother had died. They had buried her brother Lazarus. And only if Jesus would have been there, she knows that he wouldn't have died. And she's in despair. She has no hope. And she comes to Jesus. And in John chapter 11 and verse 21, she says to Jesus, if you had been here, she said, my brother would not have died. But she says, I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. You know, that's a pretty good thing to say to Jesus. You know, I've given up hope, but I know God will give you whatever you ask. And so as Noah opened up a window on the ark, Martha, in this verse, she begins to open up her heart. And as the dove brought an olive leaf, Jesus brings hope to her in John chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus says to Martha, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He says to Martha. Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who has come into the world. I know that all of you here this morning, you probably have some very real problems that you're going through in your life right now. Things that maybe even other people to some extent cannot identify with at all. Some very serious issues that you're going through right now. But I want to tell you, your two greatest problems are sin and the grave. Those are the real problems that we face in life. And these two situations with the woman caught in adultery and Martha with her brother Lazarus who had died, they're dealing with both of these things, sin and the grave. In your sin and shame, Jesus chases away the accuser of your soul, who is the devil. And as it is with Martha, your grave problem is defeated because of Jesus' resurrection. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." That's the kind of hope that we really can use. And when we get all the other things in life, when we get something beyond the olive leaf that will address our sin problem, our grave problem, then all the other olive leaves really are just a bonus. They are extra blessings from God. And you can trust that God is going to give you all that you need. And so in some earthly crisis that maybe doesn't affect your salvation at all, a leaf may not come. You may feel the floodwaters about you, and you may send out a dove with no avail, no solution. But I'm going to ask you today, as you go through the problems of life, do not jump ship, but rather instead wait for that olive leaf. Wait for the hope that God brings to our lives. God knows what you need, and He has the hope of heaven that makes anything you go through in this life a secure situation. What you really need is the glory waiting for you in heaven. And all your troubles here on the earth are actually small and temporary. No, I do not mean to devalue or take away from the stress and the problems that you're going through in life, but when it comes to your eternity, all these other things are really something just off to the side. The Bible says here, you'll notice in this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, your present troubles are small, it says, and they won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that is vastly outweighs them and will last forever. What do you want? Do you want a temporary solution to a temporary problem? Or do you want a permanent solution to a possibly permanent problem, which is sin, that will separate us from God forever? You see, we really have all the olive leaf that we need from God when we have our salvation in the form of Jesus Christ. And so you can trust that in life setbacks where hope is lacking, God knows what you really need and He will take care of your eternity. And now when that olive leaf does appear in the midst of our earthly troubles that we have, you need to receive it and enjoy it and thank God for it and celebrate the victory and the relief that you have. And then, now I want to turn to my second point today. As you receive those olive leaves in life, the blessing that God puts before you is to be able to share those olive leaves with others. That's what an olive leaf is intended to do. You know, the little leaves of life are meant to be shared. I want to ask you a question. What do you suppose Noah did with that olive leaf that he got? Here comes the dove. The dove probably perched itself on the edge of the rim of the ark there. He takes the olive leaf. He takes it in hand. What do you suppose he did? Do you think he just took that olive leaf and chucked it over the side back into the water? No, I don't think he did that. Do you think maybe he stuck it in his pocket and decided, I'll save it for a scrapbook later on? No, I don't think he did that either. Here's my thinking. I know I'm going to kind of go outside of Scripture for a minute. But I believe, this is my version of this thing, okay? I believe that Noah sat down with his family in a circle and they passed it around. And they took a sniff of it. And they enjoyed it. And they felt it in their hands. I believe that Noah shared it with his family. Now, we don't know what he did. Whatever he did, I know that it is right to exalt the Lord among others. Amen? I know that it's right for us to celebrate the Lord, to celebrate the victories. You know, I think that when we pass out our prayer list in and we talk about the ones we're praying for, we need to put some more on that prayer list about the victories and the answered prayers and the hope that God has provided for us. I know we need to celebrate and pass around those olive leaves and enjoy the victories and the
the rescues that God has provided for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, the Bible says, that we are a special people proclaiming the praises of the one who has called us out of darkness. My friend today, has God called you out of darkness? You ought to praise Him for that. You ought to proclaim His praises. You are a special people. God has called you out of darkness, and we need to proclaim the praises of our great God. Sharing that hope means that we are also encouraging others. And again, I'd like to think that Noah passed around his olive leaf. You see, you give olive leaves to the ones that you love. And I'm going to tell you, love always hopes. When you encourage others, you show love and you build up their hope. You know, I've been amazingly blessed to be married for now over 30 years to my best friend, who has come to my side, even prettier than a dove, and has offered olive leaves at those times when I needed hope in my life. She has held out an olive leaf when times when I've been sinking, when I've had my doubts as a preacher, when I've had my personal struggles as just a Christian living in this world today, she's always been there to help me keep my boat afloat, offering that olive leaf. Her love has been there to, as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, her love has been there to bear all things, to believe all things, to hope all things, and to help me endure all things. And I hope that I've just given her a small measure of that back as well in the olive leaves that I've shared with her in life. Love is something that is quick to say, I have hope for you. I have hope in you. And offer those olive leaves with that leaf. Then, as I want to move on now, you can then also extend hope as a survivor. Do you know that every single one of you here this morning, you are a flood survivor? You've survived some floods in your life. There are others that are drowning around you, needing to hear your survival story. By God's grace, you found your way to dry land. You've passed through the flood waters, and you're here to tell about it today. And you're qualified then to give hope to others who need to know that they will survive as well. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, well, you know what, Brother Rowe, I can't really think of too many floods that I've been through in life. Oh, let me ask you to think a little deeper now this morning. Think back on those days of adolescence. You know, you made it through the acne, and you made it through the struggles of growing up, and you made it through the high school years, and you made it through the broken relationships, and you made it through the flood waters of college, maybe where, you know, you weren't sure if you were going to pass that test, and you made it through the flood waters of not having a career and not knowing where you're going to go, but eventually hopefully finding a job or a career, and you've been through those first few years of marriage. Yeah, you've been through some floods if you're married, let me tell you, amen? We've been through the floods, and we've been through, and we have survived. And so, are you a survivor? If you're a survivor, then help others survive. Maybe, hey listen, if you're a cancer survivor this morning, you need to find your way over to the cancer ward, and you need to go and talk to those people and tell them that you don't know the future, but you know who holds the future. That they have a God will help them to be a survivor. Have you maybe buried a spouse and lived to smile about it again? Find someone who is widowed, someone who's lost their spouse. Your life experiences have deputized you to go out and share your leaf, your survival story, with someone else. I want you to read with me 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in case you're unclear about this and not know that you need to be one sharing your survival story. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 beginning in verse 3, it says, what a wonderful God we have. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the one who so wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships and trials. And why does He do this? so that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and our encouragement, then we can pass on to them this olive leaf. We can pass on to them this same help and comfort that God has given to us. You see, God has given you a ministry. You're a survivor. You're one who's received an olive leaf many times in your life, whether you come to think about it or not. And God wants you to pass on that olive leaf. Encourage those who are struggling. Extend hope as a survivor. And maybe you're thinking, well, you know what? I just don't know what to say. I don't have the right words for that. Well, look to the Bible for an olive leaf. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 that it is through the encouragement of Scripture that we might have hope. And so grab your Bible and start passing out olive leaves to others. To the one who is grief-stricken, let them know, according to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. To the one who is guilt-ridden in their life, offer that olive leaf and tell them in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. To the one who is downtrodden, thinking, how's God going to make any beautiful mess out of their lives, tell them that olive leaf, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and in all things God works for the good for those who love Him and those who are called according to His purpose. A single leaf of hope can have an amazing impact on the life of someone that you know. After Noah got his leaf, he was a changed man. Look back at the story there in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 11. It says that he knew when he got that olive leaf, he knew that the flood was coming to an end. What a difference a leaf can make. The reality is, however, that not all of our floods will end. And sometimes we're taking water in our boat with no end in sight, no dove in sight, no olive leaf coming. And that's when we need to look ahead to the greatest rescue of all time, when Jesus comes back and He takes us home to be with Him throughout eternity. That will really be the greatest olive leaf of all. To have that rescue, though, you need to grab your life preserver right now. Your life preserver, His name is Jesus Christ. You need to come to Him for salvation. Accept that gift of salvation that He's provided. He wants you to believe that He is God's Son, that He died, was buried, and He rose again. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and today you're willing to receive the gift of salvation by repenting of your sins and being baptized for the remission of your sins, you can have the greatest olive leaf of all. Your eternity will be secure. I know there's at least a couple individuals in here that are needing to make that decision today. If you're here today, you've heard the gospel, and you've been contemplating and thinking, you know I need to get into Christ. I know that I need to obey the gospel in baptism. I want you to do that today. Today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised. So we're inviting you to come to Jesus Christ. If as a Christian you strayed from the Lord and you need to come back and rededicate your life, come now as we stand to sing.